Initialize sequence now.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Video Freaks.
Hello, freaks!
Russian roulette is bareback sex with six chicks and one of them has AIDS.
Ooh, Hustler magazine! I finally get to see what a vagina looks. Ah, oh god! Oh my god!
You don't have to do any work. Walk in and sit down. But you call yourself stupid for 2 hours.
And any guest you can get on this show, you should consider a special guest.
I'm a horrible fucking human being. I'm seriously going to hell.
Ryan, why does everything you touch turn to garbage?
We're completely just fucking self-destructing. Welcome to the Radio Freaks, radiofreaks.tv. We're back with another week of great interviews for your ear holes. I'm Brian. He's Tony.
Yo.
And he's still there, despite the fact that we're having some technical difficulties already tonight. So I need to just do this real quick, which I did before the show, I promise.
Thank you for calling.
Pim. Ready.
All right. Sorry about that. Nothing like, you know, being professional and being prepared and that kind of shit, right?
Of course. Why would we ever be professional or prepared?
Fuck. You heard me. That's the worst part. You know I did it. It just fucking decided not to take.
So. It happens.
On the show tonight, headlining Stress Factory this weekend in New Brunswick, New Jersey, Jessica Curzon will be on the show. I have a special connection to Jessica, as a matter of fact. So we'll discuss that when she comes on. It's a very roundabout connection, but we do have a little bit of a something in common. So we'll talk about that, I'm sure. And on the second half of the show, our good pal Nick Mailer's back. We're going to talk about some Valentine's Day adult toys to spice up your love life just in time for Valentine's Day. And we'll have a promo code that you can use to get some money off of your Valentine's Day purchase. So,
you getting your chick anything?
I'm sure that the traditional flowers will be gotten. My wife is not very materialistic when it comes to that stuff, so I don't. It's hard to shop for her.
I'm going to do what I've done every year.
Nothing.
Make sushi and look cool.
The process just what I said, nothing.
Is enough. The process of doing it is enough love involved.
Right, right.
It's a pain in the fucking ass.
If you want to keep up with us on social media, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheRadioFreaks. Follow us on Twitter, @TheRadioFreaks. You can like Tony's Twitter account, which is @TrashCanLives. And you can follow me @WoodFloorLiquor on Twitter. And the You Wish You Were Dead podcast, which is Tony's other project, you should follow that. Did you ever change the name of the Twitter handle for that?
No.
WYWD?
I think that's it, yeah. WYWD podcast.
Way to promote your own fucking podcast. Good job.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, go check it out if you want. Deathwish.store. www.deathwish.store.
So.
That other thing I'm trying to do, and God, I'm just all over the place, aren't I?
Yeah, a little bit. TheRoadCode.com, car shopping simplified. It's an online vehicle marketplace with an emphasis on quality used cars. Go check them out, TheRoadCode.com, if you're looking for a quality used car. Also, I said it at the top of the show, and we're going to be talking with Nick a little bit about it. On the regular, we're going to have a promo code for Dallas Novelty now, kind of like we used to with Penthouse Store.
Yay!
So we're going to be doing 15% off on a regular basis, but I think tonight we're going to have a special percentage. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure we're going to do a special percentage off of purchases at Dallas Novelty until I think Valentine's Day or something like that. But if you're entering code word FREAKS, you'll normally save 15% off. Tonight, we'll have a special percentage off till Valentine's Day. So check them out, DallasNovelty.com, for your toy needs. Oh, interesting. Look at this. Caller, go ahead. You're on the Radio Freaks. What's your name? Where you're calling from?
This is Vinny Brand, Radio Freak.
How are you, sir? Good to hear from you. Of course, Vinny, the owner of the world-famous Stress Factory Comedy Club in New Brunswick, New Jersey, where Jessica will be headlining this weekend. How are you, pal?
Yes, she's good. I'm good, man. How are you guys, man?
Good, good. We've missed you. You're about due, I think. You're headlining the Stress Factory, your home club, the one that you own, next weekend. Yep. So you're about due to come on and do some promo.
I got to tell you, I am so pumped up for it. I'm always excited to work. I don't care where I'm working. I'm one of those guys I love working.
Yes.
But right now, like, this is my first year off the Board of Education in Middletown in, I don't know, 7 years.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm just in a good mood. I'm just in, in a good mood.
Is it the free time?
Call in. And I'm glad you have Jessica calling in. But I'm calling in like a whore at everybody's station now. And you guys are great because we get a lot of people from you.
Nice.
And people love the show.
Very nice.
And I hope good to hear. Some of my my fans will be listening and tuning in more and more and whatnot.
Yes.
I'm excited, man.
We've always had a very good relationship with the Stress Factory, and we thank you very much for always supporting the show and coming on and getting guests for us and stuff like that. And we have a great working relationship that I could never imagine getting much greater than it is, but we're going to try. That's the idea.
I got to tell you, well, your show, you put all our guys on when one of them is nice.
Yes.
And as always. And I know people come in and go, yeah, man, I heard on Radio Freaks, and it's great. Like, you're hometown to us. You're Jersey born and bred.
Yes, absolutely.
I'll tell you something funny. One of the times I called in the show, I was in a board meeting.
Yes, I remember that. Yep.
And I had to, like, duck in and out and, you know, make my votes and come back for you guys. And
right.
I'll never forget it. by the way, I want you guys, I'm going to plug something, okay?
Sure.
I know that you should plug at the end of a very good radio interview.
Yes.
I like to plug up front because I never know if the interview is going to be any good. By now, people could be walking their dogs for all I know.
Or we may hang up on you.
But yeah, exactly, exactly. I want people to listen to my podcast. It's called The Comics Tale.
Yes.
And I want you guys to come on and be guests.
Oh, that would be cool. Well, Tony lives in... Tony lives in Ohio, so that might be a little bit difficult, but I would be happy to come up and do it.
We Skype right in, Tony.
Yeah, there you go. We
Skype
can get
right
Tony
in.
On.
And we get 10,000 downloads a week, which is a
nice.
Good number.
Nice.
And I'm always looking for more. The podcast is fun because it's not a typical podcast. You know, everybody on the podcast, they're kind of maybe, you know, similar in that a lot of guys are just cursing and our
right.
podcast is different. It's just different. Check it out. You'll like it.
I have listened to a few episodes. I have listened to a few episodes, and it is very funny. I particularly like the stories that you guys tell from the road and things of that nature. So those are always cool to listen to. I never thought I qualified to be a guest because I'm not a comedian. I don't have a comics tale to tell. But I guess I've talked to enough of them that I could probably tell you some stories.
That's the thing. Like, first of all, it's about the business. It's about our club,
right?
Stress Factory. It's about, you know, 26 years of guys. And it's not just that. We've kind of expanded a bit. We do a little news now. I mean, how can you not do the news now?
Right, There's plenty of it out there. There's plenty of news out there to talk about, yeah. I was just... You said expanding, and that made me think of the fact that you guys are also building a club up in Connecticut, too, which should be ready anytime soon.
Yeah, we're doing a lot. We're building a club in Connecticut, which should open in August of this year.
Nice.
I'm performing, like, man, I just did a week in the Borgata. I'm doing my club. I'm doing Indianapolis. I'm doing Long Island. I'm doing upstate New York. I'm doing Levity Live. I mean, I'm all over the map. And so for me, 2017, it's going to be a busy year. Not as busy as you. You're having a kid. But I'm still busy.
It's, you know what it's funny too, is that Tony's having a kid the same time I'm having a kid. So we're both having a kid and our due dates are like within 10 days of each other, except he's like 20 years younger than I am.
It's fucked up, Vinny. It's fucked up.
Tony, is this your first kid, Tony?
Yes.
Okay, so this is my, I have six. And I didn't tell you this today, I feel bad. My wife is pregnant again.
Oh, congratulations, man.
What's going on?
Yeah, don't tell her. It's a surprise. I'm sorry. She's not pregnant.
I was going to say that would...
I said that joke on stage. She said, you're going to curse me. I go, listen, I can't get you pregnant with that joke. I can't. It's funny as a joke is I can't get you pregnant.
The funny thing is...
So you're both having your first?
Yes, we're both having our first. But the first thing I thought of when you said that your wife was pregnant again was how mean you've been to your wife on Facebook Live over the last couple of months, and that she's probably going to turn around and stab you in your sleep one of these days, pregnant or not. I mean, you're really pissing Vicky off. So
my Facebook Live posts are fun. I get a lot of action on those too, and she laughs because I don't want to be in them, but whenever she's in them, I get substantially more people watching.
I'm sure.
No one wants to see me. I know what they're doing. I'm not stupid. If I could get out there in a bikini, I would.
You definitely married up, my friend. Like much of us did, you definitely married up.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, man. You got to marry up. You can't marry at your level.
No, no.
You got to marry way up and be a slave. Or way down and have a slave. Those are the only two choices.
Yeah. And speaking of slave, I plan on being Mr. Mom because she's got the better job. So I'm going to be Mr. Mom for 2 years and work kind of on a per diem basis or part-time basis. And then she's going to continue to work her full-time job because I know my place. I mean, I'm married up. I know my place. So.
Oh, yes. And I got to tell you something. I've stayed home with the kids.
Right.
I would rather be a coal miner than stay home with kids. It's 24/7. That's why, like, the fathers of the 50s that came home, what'd you do all day? They should have been kissing those women's asses because in the 50s, you came home, dinner was on the table.
Oh, yeah.
You know, your laundry was done, you know, and the kids were watched. And it's hysterical. My brother-in-law used to say about my sister, he's my ex-brother-in-law, he used to say, she sits around her ass all day. I said to him one day, listen, dude, I've stayed home with my kids. My wife is, and I are partners. There have been days when I've stayed home, and it's not even close.
Oh, no.
It's way easier to go to work. Way, way, way easier. It's not even in the same ballpark. You know, and at work, you can blame things on other people, and people will believe you.
Oh, yeah.
If you're sitting home with an infant, and your wife comes home, and there's six empty Budweisers, then there's no one to blame but you. You're the guy. You know, you can't lay that off on somebody else. You
know? No, not at all. Not at all. And what are you going to do, blame the kid? Because the kid's drinking Budweiser. Sure. That's going to be
it's ironic. It's all you.
It's ironic, because I see that in my future. I see that in my future. That exact same thing.
Yeah. Nice. I would rather go to work than stay home taking care, especially little kids. I have a 16-year-old. She needs to take care of us. Great kid, takes care of herself. My 13-year-old, great kid, takes care of herself. I have a 4-year-old. It's like staying home with a tornado. It's like you're constantly picking stuff up. You're running around. All I do when I'm with my little one, I run around with a roll of paper towels, a broom, and a towel to cry in. It's just nonstop. And, you know, you can't get mad at her, you know. And she cracks me up. Great kid, but, oof.
But you keep having them. That thing around. You keep having them, though. What is wrong with you? You've got, like, a tribe of kids already.
I have six kids. And there's a point in your life where you say to yourself, hey, I'm going to be poor no matter what. I might as well pump out a few more kids. Like, what's the difference? I mean, spread the pain.
Yeah.
Okay? I have to have a lot of kids because, you know, people say, well, my kids will take care of me when I get older.
Right.
Look, a lot of kids don't. So if you have six kids, you're increasing the odds that your poor fiscal planning won't bite you on the ass. Okay? You got someone, one of them's going to get a good job and take care of me. Someone's got to make something out of themselves.
Let's face it. You've owned the Stress Factory Comedy Club for like two decades now. You're opening up a second club in Bridgeport, Connecticut. You've got a successful podcast and a successful career as a comedian. I think your fiscal stability is pretty good at this point. There's no need to pop out any more kids.
Listen, man. But you know what they say? Look, Johnny Depp is apparently broke.
Right.
Okay? Because Johnny Depp was spending $30,000 a month on wine. And here's my point. You spend what you make.
Yeah.
Everybody spends what they make. That's the problem.
Right.
All right? And if you're a Democrat, you spend what someone else makes. And the point is that, you know, I can't, I'll never have enough money. And I'm not materialistic, but I like nice shit.
Right.
So someone said, well, that makes you materialistic. No, it doesn't. I don't think that my self-worth is wrapped up in nice stuff.
Right. That's
true. I just like nice stuff. I don't think I'm better than or someone else is better than me.
Right.
But if I could have nice stuff versus not having nice stuff, it's not even close. When I opened my club, I lived in a boarding house.
Right.
And I had no car, no phone. When I met my wife, I lived in a boarding house. No phone, no car.
Wow.
I borrowed another girl's car to take my wife out for a date. That's a true story.
Wow.
And, yeah, man, so I've been poor and I've had a little bit of money. And all those people telling you money's the root of all evil, let me tell you what the root of all evil is. An empty stomach and a crying infant. That's the root of evil. All right? All right, that's when
true.
You will do anything you can to feed that kid.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the root of evil.
Yeah. Well, it's a survival instinct, and that you have to have a good survival instinct in these days, especially. So, but
yeah.
You will be headlining your own club next week. You're down here on a regular basis at the Helium Comedy Club in Philadelphia as well. You're a fan favorite down here as well. But you're going to be headlining next week at Stress Factory, and people can go to stressfactory.com for tickets or 732-545-4242. I'm so glad you changed it to just 4242 and no more ha-ha, because you caught so much shit for that, I'm sure.
Oh, my God. Norton loved it. Now you can follow me on Twitter, Vinny_Brand. Download the podcast and subscribe.
Yes, a comic's tale.
10,000 people, we cannot be wrong.
Yes. And we will figure out how to get you on next week, and we will figure out how to get us up there to do an episode of the comics that we would love to do that.
I'd love it, man. Let's do it.
All right, man. Talk to you next week.
Talk to Jessica. She's great.
Yes. She's on the line now, actually, so that's why I'm rushing you off, so I apologize.
All right. Thanks for having
me. All right, man.
I'll talk to you next week.
Take care. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, Vinny Brand, the owner of the Stress Factory Comedy Club in New Brunswick, New Jersey, where you can see our next guest, who will be headlining at that club this weekend, the very funny Jessica Curzon. How are you, Jessica?
Hi, good. How are you?
Good. Sorry to keep you waiting. Your boss for the weekend decided that he wanted to come on the show, and boy, can he fucking talk.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know Vinny likes to talk. I'm actually outside in New York City, outside of the Comedy Cellar, because I have shows tonight, and it's a little loud, so I apologize.
That's
but,
okay.
I wanted to call in, and I'm so excited about the weekend.
Yes, you're going to be doing some shows at the Stress Factory this weekend. You've been there before. You're actually there fairly regularly, I should say.
Yes, I've headlined there a bunch of times
yeah.
at the Stress Factory, and I love that club. I love the audiences there.
It's a nice, intimate club, and by that I mean Vinny really packs them the fuck in there. If there's ever a fire alarm, everybody's going to die.
Yeah. it's very intimate. It's big, but it's also intimate, which is great.
Yes.
And, you know, they know how to run a show, and the staff is great, and they get the best comics. You know, they really do.
You've had a lot of early success already. I mean, people, I saw you on a list of up and coming comedians, which made me laugh because you've been doing comedy for a while now. But you, you've been on The Tonight Show. You've been on with, what's his name on CBS, Byron Allen, late nights. You've been on a bunch of different TV shows, yet somehow you're still on the up and coming list. How does that work?
I have no idea. I mean, I've been doing stand-up for 18 years. I've done a ton of television. I, you know, was on True TV and Comedy Central this week. And I actually just went to the premiere of the movie The Comedian last night, which is coming out on Friday with Robert De Niro. I'm in the movie, and I ended up coaching him on how to do stand-up. And I ended up becoming a producer, and it was an incredible experience.
Wow.
I was, you know, by his side for months.
I was going to say, that's got to be an awesome experience to coach Robert De Niro on how to do comedy.
Yeah, it was amazing. And there's a lot of stars in the movie, you know, like Danny DeVito, Harvey Keitel, Edie Falco, Leslie Mann. So I worked with all of them and developed relationships, and it was incredible.
That's
really
phenomenal.
Cool.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. I mean,
De Niro saw me do stand-up and chose me to be in it and to meet with him, and it was incredible.
That's awesome.
Great.
That really is awesome. It just amazes me how long you guys have to do comedy to be considered not a newcomer anymore. I mean, like you said, you've been doing it for 18 years, for Christ's sake, and you're still a newcomer. I don't know what point that changes.
I'm so sorry. You're going in and out. What did you just say?
I said, you've been doing comedy for 18 years, yet somehow you're still on this list. I don't know at what point you guys are no longer newcomers. You've been doing this almost two centuries.
What is the list again? What's this list?
There was a list that I had seen online that said that you were a list of up-and-coming people, 50 new comics to watch, and you've been doing comedy for 18 years. At what point do they can no longer consider you?
Well, we all make fun of lists. Lists are very random. There's people on, you know, the biggest comics in the country that are doing it 2 years that are, you know, on that list. You know what I mean?
Right,
so it's really whoever makes the list.
But
I've done a ton of stuff. And I have a ton of credits. The funny thing is, no matter how much I do, I'll still feel like I'm up and coming because, you know, it's you never master it, and you just get better and better, and you develop more and more. But it's a craft. So that's why, like, you know, guys are out at the clubs all the time, like Louis C.K. and Chris Rock and all these guys. They're always trying new stuff.
Right.
They're always working on their act.
You're at one of my favorite places to go see comedy tonight, being The Cellar, because you never know who's going to pop in there. And I think that that's such a great thing.
Yeah.
You can go there for a show and see Chris Rock or Seinfeld or Louis C.K. do a set on a, you know, a Wednesday night and not know they're coming.
Yeah, it's the other night I was here and, you know, Tracy Morgan came and Judd Apatow and Louis C.K. It was great. It's just insane who shows
that's awesome.
Up. And I always respect these guys because they try out new stuff and they don't care what people think, you know, because a lot of times they don't do great.
Sure.
Because they're trying new material. But it's so hard to do that because the audience will be with you at first and, you know, they'll be screaming and yelling and freaking out that the person's on stage. And then they give you about 5 minutes in New York and then they're like, okay, now make me, you know, prove that you're funny.
Right.
No matter who you are.
Especially a New York crowd. New York crowds are brutal, man.
Yeah.
They will tell you how it is right from the get-go.
That's
if you're
the
not
best
funny.
Place to learn. It is
right.
By far the best place to learn.
There's a difference between doing comedy in New York and L.A., too. If you're doing it in L.A., it's a completely different vibe than doing it in New York, I kind of feel like.
Very big difference. I was in L.A. last week. I did Roast Battle on Comedy Central, and I performed at the Comedy Store a bunch of times and the Improv a bunch of times, and that it's just so different. I mean, the crowds are good there, but it's just so different than a New York audience.
Right.
They're much more mellow and, you know, I always say to them that I feel like they're all like on an audition because they're all in the business, you know. I feel like they're all like sitting there, you know, looking to see who's looking at them.
Yeah, exactly.
But,
But
they're good.
I apologize. I went to your website and the video started, so that's what that noise was.
Oh, no problem.
People can go to jessicacurzon.com and check out your website. You do a lot of podcasts, I've noticed. There's a bunch of different podcasts on your website. I don't know which ones are current or if they're all current or
Well, I only have one podcast called Fat Pig with my friend Frank Liotti, and we've had Edie Falco on and a lot of people. It's really funny. I mean, it's about like overeating and overdoing drugs and drinking and sex and all kinds of stuff. So it's really great, and it's very funny and fun. It's called Fat Pig. And then I do a ton of videos. I have a Facebook page, Comedian Jessica Kirsten, which I have hundreds of videos on there. And it's funny because wherever I go, a lot of people come because they've seen my videos.
Right.
And they haven't even seen my stand-up yet, which is amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love it. I love it so much. And, you know, I'm from New Jersey originally also. I'm from South Orange, New Jersey. So
I was just going
to
say, I was going to save that kind of towards the end, but since you brought it up, you and I actually have a very interesting connection, and I don't know if you know this or not.
No.
I went to high school at Columbia High School in Maplewood, New Jersey, which I'm sure you're familiar with. And
I went there too.
And I graduated in 1993 with your stepbrother. Who happens to be the very funny Zach Braff. Yes.
Yes. So. I have three stepbrothers, so I had to think for a second. Yes. Zach is the youngest.
I was actually I was in Mr. Mullen's television production classes with Zach. We were actually not good friends, but we knew each other and worked together a bunch doing television production stuff. So
that's awesome. Yeah, I remember Mr. Mullen too.
Yeah.
So funny. That's so cool. Yeah, he was just in L.A. also, and he's doing great.
Yeah, he lives down in Florida now. He was a big Marco Rubio supporter, apparently, during the election process.
So. Yeah, right. Yeah. No, he wasn't.
No, I swear to God, we're friends on Facebook, and he was tweeting, sending out all sorts of messages about being at Marco Rubio's camp the night of the election.
Oh, that's interesting. That's actually shocking to me. I don't know if that was a joke or not, but I don't know. He's pretty liberal, and
That's what surprised me.
He's doing
about
really,
it too.
Really well.
Yeah, that's what surprised me about it too. But it looks like he's enjoying retirement. I think him and his wife have both retired from teaching. She, of course, taught at Columbia also, and they're both living down in Florida.
Marco Rubio?
No. His wife. His wife. I cannot remember.
I thought you meant Zach, because I'm like, Zach's not married.
No, Mr. Mullen is living down in Florida. I've actually tried to get a hold of Zach, and I understand he's a celebrity, but he doesn't seem to answer me back, and that's fine. I get that he's a very, very busy guy.
Oh, I got so confused. I thought you meant Zach.
All right.
No, Zach is very, very, very busy and has a hard time getting back to a lot of people.
I'm sure.
It's just constant.
I'm sure.
Someone said that to me last night. I went to the premiere for the movie The Comedian last night, and someone came up to me and said, I've been trying to reach Zach. I'm like, you and everyone.
But
really think he would even acknowledge you?
No, I understand that, but I'm just saying he's a busy, busy guy. That's all. And when we were booking Jessica and I did research on her, I didn't know before that he was her stepbrother, and I was like, oh wow, we have this connection. I had no idea.
Well, we're lucky enough to get her.
Yes. Well, you're doing.
What'd you say?
He said we're lucky enough to get you, let alone to get Zach on the show.
I know. I mean, Jesus, it's enough to get me on the show. You'd have to, like, you know, really pay him a lot. No, I'm
sure. I'm sure.
He's the busiest person. He's one of the busiest people I know, actually.
He's about to get busier, unless he was joking around, because it looked like they were going to do a Scrubs reunion too. So that would be pretty cool if they did, but. I was looking at your pictures and stuff, because when we talk to somebody on the show, we put up pictures of them, and I noticed a drastic weight loss. Does that have anything to do with the title of your podcast and stuff like that? You look phenomenal now.
So, I'm so sorry. It's so hard to hear you. I know this is radio, which is hysterical, because it's like, it's the most important thing that I hear you and you hear me, but like, it's so loud, it's crazy.
That's okay.
What did you say? You noticed something?
When I'm talking and you're not talking, I hear a ton of background noise. So it works both ways, believe me.
Oh yeah, there's hundreds of people standing around and it's freezing out, and I'm doing this just for you guys. It better sell tickets.
I appreciate it. what I was saying was I was looking at your website and stuff like that. When we do the show, we put up pictures of who we're talking to on our broadcast screen, and I noticed that there's been a drastic weight loss in the last couple of pictures I saw. Was the title of your podcast prompted by that, or had something to do with that?
No. I actually just decided to get healthy and really try, and I gave up bread and pasta and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I lost 100 pounds.
Wow.
And it's very difficult. I mean, now it's hard to keep it off. Like, I'm like, I got to start working out and doing stuff because it's tough. It's really, really tough.
I talk about that kind of stuff a lot
on the podcast, actually, because a lot of people struggle with it.
Yeah, I'm absolutely one of those people. I just started. I don't know if you're familiar with DDP yoga this week, and was one of the.
No, but yoga's amazing.
Yeah, it's one of the wrestlers from the WWE who decided to put together one of his own.
I heard
packages.
About that.
Yeah, so yeah. I just started that this week, and it kicked my ass so far. So hopefully it works.
I used to do it, and it's probably the hardest thing I ever did, the hardest exercise. I mean, it's really tough.
It's crazy. And you lose a whole lot of weight by not doing a whole lot. It's mostly just stretching and stuff like that. It's really weird how it works.
So. I know. It's incredible. I did it, and when I was doing yoga every day, it was the strongest I ever felt in my life.
Do you talk a lot about that on stage, or is it something that you kind of keep private?
No, I don't. I don't talk about what people, like, you know, just expect me to talk about. You know, I do a lot of characters. I talk about my family. I talk about, you know, just my perspective on things. And I mean, the only time I really talk about it is just kind of how, like, you know, I lie to myself and tell myself that things are okay, which everyone relates to. I mean,
sure.
Most people, you know, like,
yeah.
I'll say, you know, wheat bread is still bread. You know what I mean? And I'll eat a loaf of it and tell myself it's okay because it's wheat. Like, it's just crazy. That's where I'm crazy. I just constantly lying about food.
Nice. I find that my biggest problem is portion control. So my eyes are constantly bigger than my stomach. I'll eat healthy, but I'll eat a ton of it, which really kind of counteracts the whole trying to lose weight part of it. So
I'm the exact same way. Yeah. I could eat like tons of food, and I don't eat fried stuff. I don't even eat sugar really at all. But I just eat a lot. I'm used to eating a lot, and I'm from that kind of family.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's like you said, the weight loss part of it is sometimes pretty easy. It's the maintenance to keep it off that's really very, very hard to do. So.
Yeah, it's very hard. Very, very hard.
Well, listen, I don't want to hold you up. I know you have shows tonight and we're having audio issues anyway, but I appreciate you calling in. You're doing four shows tonight this weekend at the Stress Factory. You're doing Friday night two shows, 7:30 and 9:45. Saturday, 7:30 and 9:45. People should follow you on Twitter at Jessica Curzon and jessicacurzon.com for the website, which also has links to your podcast and your upcoming shows and stuff too.
Yes. Yep.
Do you promote your Instagram a lot?
I do, yeah. So my Instagram is at Jessie Curson, JessyKirson.
I really like the picture of you and De Niro on your Instagram too.
Really I know, so I love cool. it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I am one of those people that when I meet a celebrity, I constantly have to take pictures with them and then the next time I see them, trying to get them to autograph the same picture. Because then it's more personal and they don't think, oh well, he's selling it on, you know, eBay or something like that. But that's such an awesome picture.
Yeah, he's gracious about that stuff.
That's really cool. And, of course, your Facebook, if people want to check that out, facebook.com/JessicaCurzon also has dates and stuff up there like that as well. We appreciate you coming on the show tonight. I'm sorry that we had audio issues.
It's okay. No problem. Thanks so much for having me on. And I you know, love to see people come to the show. It's going to be amazing, and I love that club.
Yes. So, and we would love to have you
see people there, and I hope to meet you guys.
Yes, we would love to have you back on the show too. Whenever you want to come back on and promote something,
anytime.
You're more than welcome
sure.
to.
Sure.
You can check out Jessica then this weekend at the Stress Factory Comedy Club, 90 Church Street in New Brunswick. For tickets and information, stressfactory.com or call 732-545-4242. Jessica, thank you so much, and good luck with your shows tonight
thank you
and this weekend,
so much.
Too. Have a great night.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Jessica Curzon, ladies and gentlemen. Very cool that she was able to give us a call. Unfortunately, the audio issues, there was nothing that we could do about that. But
yeah, still phone calls.
It was a good interview. I was losing track because of the background noise, and I couldn't concentrate on,
that's weird.
On the questions I was asking, which is weird because I'm normally, that shit doesn't faze me, but it was just overwhelming. Like, I think we were talking, the noise was so bad that we were talking over each other, I think.
She sounded fine.
Yeah.
She sounded great.
When she talked, it was you could hear her, but when she didn't talk, it was like kind of bleeding us out. So
very strange. But
well, she's going to be at the Stress Factory Comedy Club this weekend, which is cool. And I love going to the Cellar. Going to the Cellar is when you come up, I'm going to have to take you to the Cellar because it is just,
of course,
it is an absolute experience. Like we were talking about, it's one of those places where you could go on a Tuesday night and you could see nobody you know. Or you could go on a Tuesday night and you could see Chris Rock and Louis C.K. and Seinfeld and all these other guys show up, and it's just amazing. So
now, this might be a dumb question, but like, is there a wait? Or can
no.
you just go?
No, you just go. Yeah.
There's never a wait to, you know, I would assume there would be like a line, a waiting list to come back in an hour.
No, not really.
Two people leave, two people can come in.
On a weekend, maybe. But not really, and I've never been there on a weekend, so I couldn't really tell you. But on a weekday, I have been there, and absolutely not. There's no way to at all.
I would just think people would be dying to get in there, like the hottest nightclub.
You know, and they have multiple venues, too. So they have the Stress Factory. I mean, I'm sorry. They have the Cellar, and then they have the Village Underground at the Cellar, too. So, but
it seemed like a big place from what I've seen, but also I've never been there.
It's New York City, so everything is a little place that they use in a big way. That's the best way to put it. They really maximize the amount of area space that they have in a lot of these places because of the fact that they don't have a lot of real estate to jam people into.
I really am just not a well-traveled person.
You'll get there.
Yeah, but I mean, I know so many people my age and younger that were going to New York, L.A., visiting all the places. Yeah. You know, that everybody wants to go, Seattle, and they traveled overseas. Never been to New York. I've been to Florida.
Florida's nice.
Great. Everybody goes to fucking Florida.
Where have I been in the, let me see. Let me pull up a
the Cleveland. Nicole, I mean, what? I got to get out more. I got to go somewhere cool.
I think you stepped away for a minute, but we were invited to do Vinny's A Comic's Tale podcast also.
What is that?
That's his podcast.
Oh. So, to go do it in person,
to
or
go do it, yes. So as guests,
yikes.
So I told him that it might be difficult with you because you're, you know, out in Ohio. But that
what we need to do is what we need to do is save all these invites we've got.
Well, he said we'd just Skype you right in, like you do for this. So
sure, I guess we could.
But or you can get your ass out here. We could do it together.
As I'm saying, I mean, we could, you know, when I do decide to come out, we can pre-plan and be like, hey, you said we want to do this thing. When can we do it here?
Right.
Now, you know what I mean?
So let's see.
I'd love to. Because also I'd love to see you, to see me probably panic. He's super nervous and shy and panicky.
Let's see. Talk about places. You talk about how you don't get to places. Let's see. Where have I? I've been to Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania.
I'm also not talking about, I do not count states you've driven through.
No, I'm not counting states I've driven through.
It has to be a state that you've stayed in a hotel for more than one night.
More than one night, really?
Yeah, that doesn't count.
Why?
Because you're just stopping through.
If I'm taking a day trip to somewhere and I'm just coming right back.
Day trip, yes. And you actually, okay, you have to actually have gone and done something.
Okay, then I am counting all these correctly. North Carolina. South Carolina, I dropped off my ex-girlfriend and then turned around and came back, so I'm not going to count that.
Jeez, what lake is she in the bottom of? Fuck.
Florida, I've not been to Georgia or Alabama or Mississippi, Arkansas, Louisiana. Haven't been to any of those. Tennessee, of course, lots of times to visit Dr. Steve. Haven't been to...
I'd like it if you just stayed out, please. Thank you. Yes.
What kind of fluid did you bury her in?
From out.
I've been... I've only been to Ohio as far as the airport, I believe.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
So that doesn't count.
Nope.
Indiana...
It shouldn't, because Ohio stinks.
Indiana, I was at Purdue University for a few days. Michigan, I've not been to. Wisconsin, I haven't been to. Illinois.
You've been to a lot of places. We got it.
You're
going to just kill time until 10 o'clock?
Sure, why not? You saw right through what I was doing and called me on it, dickface. Good job.
I'm getting better at this over
Texas,
time.
Texas, I've been to. Where else? Vegas, I've been to. So Nevada.
Get the fuck out of here, you little shithead.
And California. That's it. So yep, I'd say better than half the states in the country.
Yeah, that's pretty well traveled. I mean,
plus I've traveled internationally. I go to the Caribbean a bunch. I've been to Europe.
I've been to Cancun. The three main cities in Ohio, which all pretty much suck if you don't live in Ohio.
Wait, did you say you've been to Cancun?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you had a can. Never mind. That was awful.
Oh, was that a racist joke?
That was awful. I never make racist jokes either.
And it wasn't even a good one.
No, there's a reason why I don't make them.
I mean, like, were you trying to do like a Prince Albert in a can thing? Yeah, you should let him out?
Yeah, canned coon, yeah.
Boy.
Abu.
God, you should be exiled to one of these states. But yeah, I've never been to L.A. Everyone always says, oh, you got to go to L.A. But I've also heard that I would hate it, and I would just hate everyone I met there. And
oh, you hate everybody anyway.
That's true, but I've heard that I would hate everyone there more than normal.
I've only ever been there recently, so I can't tell you a whole lot, you know, whether you would like it or you wouldn't like it. But when I went, I did all the touristy shit. You know, I went to Warner Brothers. I went to Universal. I don't like
touristy shit either.
Huh?
I don't like touristy shit either.
Right. So,
I don't know. Now it's all fucked. I got a kid on the way. I'm stuck at home.
No, you're not. You're really not. You can either travel before the kid gets here.
Oh, yes. 4 months. I'm going to make a fucking no.
Either travel before the kid gets here, or, and this is an option too, wait till the kid's maybe a year old and it's easier to travel with the kid.
Yeah, no.
A year old is a nice sweet spot because they're not quite a toddler.
My life's
and
over.
They're not young enough to constantly be crying on a plane.
It's done. It's over.
It's not done and over with.
My mom always told me I should have got everything that I was supposed to do, fun stuff when I was young.
Well, that's true.
And I didn't do it, and now it's fucked.
That's true. You should get all that fun stuff out of the way. But you know, and it's funny. I talked to somebody earlier today who said to me that it's better to have kids when you're older. And I've been hearing this a lot because when you're younger, you're too immature to handle being a parent because you're practically a kid still yourself.
Well, no, but shit.
When you're older, you have that worldly knowledge. You have that calm demeanor. You have the temperament to be able to handle a child and you're more financially stable. Whereas, personally, I thought somewhere in the 30s would have been the right time.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. Fuck all that shit. There's never a right time.
Depends on how badly you really want kids.
You planned yours out.
Yes. Well, I planned mine out after having tried for 10 years to do it the right way.
Exactly. So it was, even if it was still planned and it didn't happen when you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, it's rough.
So it's done. But like you were saying is I disagree with whoever the fuck said that actually, because I do agree you should do it when you're older, sure. But I think it's more or less like, yeah, get all the fun shit out which I did. I mean, I have my fair share of stories of just being a degenerate piece of shit for the past 28 years. I have been. I mean,
I was going to say, when did you stop doing that? Because I was pretty sure you still were.
Last week. No, you know, drinking, partying, multiple women, things like that, you know.
Right.
I got all that out of my system. I still like
to drink. So you say.
I love my chick. She's great. She's the best.
Yes.
She really is. But, I don't know, again, why do I have to say that? I don't know why. I guess I'm in her house.
Are you trying to convince yourself?
No, she's just right upstairs.
Oh, and you're afraid you're within earshot.
I know. What's she going to do? She ain't doing shit.
No, believe me. You know, honestly, your chick is pretty cool. Just by the virtue of putting up with your dumbass, honestly. Mm-hmm. She truly is.
Now, I'm still going to do fun, dumb shit and probably, you know, just because there's a kid doesn't mean I'm not. It doesn't automatically just kind of wipe my slate clean that I'm not a complete piece of garbage.
Right.
Same with you. Yeah. I mean, like, you're having a kid, but how's the swing? Does the swinger thing stop when you have a kid? Didn't even think about this. Just came to mind.
It's probably going to slow down significantly, at least for a few years. Yeah.
I mean, think about how that even works. But again, yeah. I guess there's probably plenty of swingers who have kids.
Yeah. I mean, they just don't generally. You get a babysitter. That's it.
It's just weird.
And then you bang the babysitter.
True life, my parents. There you go. Then the kid just sitting there crying by itself. The hell's going? That is a really weird kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then, like, do you swing forever? And then, like, it's one of those things.
No,
like,
I mean, it's up to you how you really do it.
Wait, son, daddy and daddy are gay when they get old enough. And it's like, well, son, mommy and daddy are swingers. Would you like to know what that means? Do you have to explain that? Or
no.
Like, daddy, why are these random men leaving every morning that are not you?
Nice.
Or women.
Why are you spending so much time with Aunt Joan? I don't understand why.
That's interesting.
Why is Aunt Jennifer and Uncle Paul still over here all the time? And God damn it, that was not a reference. It just happened to be the first name that came out of my mouth. But
I wasn't even listening to it. What was it?
I said Aunt Jennifer and Uncle Paul.
Huh?
Huh?
Ring the bell. That is interesting though.
Yeah.
Because you, I mean, if you, I obviously, like you said, it probably slowed down. But if it didn't per se, like it wasn't, you know, there's, I'm sure there's.
Well, really there'd be some explaining to do then. Yeah. But the idea is not to do it where you have explaining to do. So.
I guess when they're old enough to realize, then that's when you have to do it. You know.
Or just don't do it at home. You know, get a hotel room. You get a hotel room and you just.
Is that something you've thought about?
You know what? A little bit.
Swinging is fascinating to me. It still baffles my mind that you guys are totally cool with that. It's just.
Yeah.
It's great. I mean, it truly is the way it should be.
I truly believe that.
I don't know if some of the listeners might not understand, but like the setup you two have is like exactly how I think it actually truly is meant to be.
Yeah.
Which is you have, you know, your wife who you love and care about, and she has you, you know. But then, you know, you're both cool with, you know, there's an understanding.
Right. Right.
You know, if you meet somebody else or, I mean, why am I explaining this for you?
I don't know. Are you explaining it to yourself? Because I'm pretty sure I know how it works.
Of course you do.
I've known for long before I met my wife how it works.
It's been a very fascinating thing. I honestly think, and I don't think about you in the act, but I do think about the arrangement.
And that's the thing. I've been doing this long before I met my wife.
Is there
probably
a talk
just as long I've been as I've been with my wife? So probably at least 15, 20 years.
Is there a signed, notarized agreement? I don't. How do I get involved in this world?
You talk to your chick, bonehead.
Oh, cool with the harsh language.
You got to negotiate that with your chick. That's what you got to do.
So does it take what it takes? Lengthy coercion.
Coercion. Yeah,
it's a hard word to say.
I would just say
Does it take some weaning, like some, you know, building up until...
I would say, Sador, have you ever thought about what it would be like if we... And then if she's like, fuck no, what is wrong with you? Then you know not to bring it up again.
See, but that's where the ego plays in. If she goes, yeah, actually I have, then is that where you realize in yourself?
Every time I'm banging you, I think about it. Believe me.
That's a good point. That's a good point. But do you have to look into yourself and be like, wait, shit, like, you know, okay, no, I am cool with this. Because, like, some guys probably have done that and they'd be like, oh, wait, no shit. Damn it, now I'm pissed that she, you know, is actually into that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not.
Is that where you got to find your own, like, you know?
I've said it before and I'll say it again. It's not for everybody.
I can imagine.
It's not for everybody. This is the most sage piece of advice I could possibly give you on the topic. And that is, if your relationship is built on sand, believe me, it will not go well for you.
Gotcha. So you got to have a really strong foundation to even bring that up, or it has to be started on that.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Exactly. And even if it's started on that, that can still be a huge issue. Because if you find out later that, you know, people just aren't being honest, you don't know that from the get-go. If you can trust the other person you're with, or if you have that kind of solidarity in your relationship, you don't know always right from the get-go. So even from the get-go, it could be a bad thing.
So it's honesty is the big part of it, too.
Absolutely. That is a cornerstone of being able to do it.
Is being able to say, hey, I did this with such and such the other day, and you have to go,
There's different facets of it too. So not all of it is being able to screw people on the side. You know, sometimes couples just do it exclusively together and that's it. So you can't be going off to get stuff on your own on the side and saying, well, this is cool, because it's not.
Yeah, yeah. There has to be a mutual understanding.
So you need to lay the ground rules out ahead of time.
I think
everybody has
to
be comfortable with it.
There's too many rules.
But it's a safeguard. It doesn't have to be that many rules.
But it sounds like there is, and there's too many feeling. It's very complicated. But it shouldn't be. That's the thing. I think it truly is.
It doesn't have to be as complicated as you're making it. Number one.
No, I'm not saying me. I'm just saying society and
right, oh yeah,
norms of dating and relationships and marriage have definitely made it more difficult, because it's just kind of embedded in people's minds that it's supposed to be one way and not this way.
The benefits absolutely outweigh, in my opinion.
Sir, I know you've told me stories, and I've been very jealous. I've been very jealous of you, sir.
I would say that they're more than well worth any of the rules that you have to lay down.
Imagine. But again, I truly believe that is the way it's supposed to be. But like I said, it's kind of everyone's kind of brainwashed and kind of conditioned to not to think that's totally not the way it's supposed to be. And I think that's silly.
Yeah. It's drilled into our heads from a very young age. Monogamy, monogamy, monogamy.
The funny thing is, there's people who would probably like lambast you and tell you how evil and bad you are for doing what you're doing with your wife.
I mean, obviously, an extreme would be the Westboro Baptist Church, but even the Catholic Church doesn't agree with that. Lots of religions don't agree with that.
It's weird. I don't even think, I mean, yeah, religions too, but I'm sure there's plenty of just regular-ass dumb people who think, you know, don't love your wife.
It's because like, it's how we're brought up to believe.
Yeah. Or your wife doesn't love you, things like that. That's
right.
Silly.
Yeah.
I applaud you. I always have.
Well, thank you.
I really don't know how we got on this topic, but
I don't know either.
I can't wait to do my new podcast.
That's I think it was having kids and doing what you want to do, and then you were like,
"Yes, see how I do
that's
that." I'm getting pretty good at this shit, aren't I? Thank you.
You still need me to bring it back to the beginning, though.
We're gonna go to break.
You don't remember how you got there.
That's true. I go on these tangents. That's why I can't sit here and do a show by myself, because I would forget where I'm going.
Dude, you don't understand. You never have truly, I don't think, understood. But now maybe you're starting to see it a little bit. I need you to do this show. Because before you got here, after Alexa left, it was me sitting here talking to myself, and it's very difficult to do.
Some people do it great.
Some people do it great. Bill Burr, perfect example of somebody that does it absolutely phenomenally.
Somebody who you're not a fan of, but the Red Bar Radio Show guy. I mean, you don't like him, but...
All right, hold on. Hold on.
Hold on. Why even do
Pump the brakes, because...
No, don't stop.
I was not going to bring him up. We had agreed off the air that you did not want me discussing his show. And then you go and fling the door open by mentioning the show on the air.
It's not even that. I'm just giving examples of shows who do a do it by themselves. Nick DiPaolo does a show by himself.
But you couldn't just say Bill Burr, Nick DiPaolo. You had to bring up the fucking Red Bar Radio Show.
Again, you didn't let me finish because you got all butthurt and weird. And
I can't stand that fucking show.
That's great. That's totally fine. But he also does 6 hours alone.
Good for him.
It's pretty incredible.
He does 6 hours alone is exactly right because nobody's listening to that horse shit.
This is where me and you will split opinions, but that's fine. I do like his show. But again...
When you sit there and you... Now, you remember, you opened this door, and I'm going to keep it short because I have 2 minutes.
One word.
You opened this door, so I'm gonna keep it short because I've got 2 minutes. But when you sit there...
The backlash that we get from
you
this.
Shit talk a guy like Anthony Cumia and Keith the Cop, and then turn around and tongue-in-cheek it by saying, and I'm friends with these guys, and I'm not trying to make I'm not mad at these guys, but they have no idea what the fuck they're doing. How do you do that when you were invited onto their network, and then they tell you not to be an asshole to certain people? I get that that's their shtick, but if you know that you're going to shit on people... And they should have known from the get-go, too, that maybe this is not a good fit for the network because you could blow shit up. But if you're asked by the head of the network not to do something, you should probably not do it. And if you don't feel you could do it, then you do what he did, and that's leave. But you should have known from the get-go that they probably weren't going to be cool with you blowing up relationships that they had. So don't go then blaming them because your show is a certain way.
I don't believe he blamed them at all. I don't know how
he
much
did.
He did.
I listened to the audio. He did.
How much audio?
A lot.
You listened to a lot?
Of that particular episode, yes.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Several hours of it, and he shit-talked them for a good almost 2 hours solid.
And again, he... I mean, he has a point, and he did say this. I forget what show it was last Friday. Again, I'm a fan. I will not say anything bad about him, but he did say you ONA fans, and I'm one of them. But I'm not as adamant as you are. You guys are very protective of Anthony and anything Opie, really. Especially you, mainly more than most people. But you're very protective over that whole crew and Big A and all.
I'm friends with all those people. Why wouldn't I be? Yeah, defend your friends. But I will say, if they did something wrong, I'd be the first person to call them out on it, too. I'm not hypocritical in that regard.
Yeah.
I'd be the first one to say that maybe, and I've said it before.
So we just say that it's hearsay. It's always been hearsay between Opie and Anthony saying one side of their story. And
everybody's got a side. Everybody's got a side.
Now, I'll never take either one because I just like radio. I like these shows that I like. I like them. I don't.
I've said that before. I'm not going to take a side. I love them both. They're both... I've been at Anthony's house. I've hung out with Opie at his brother's bar. I have nothing bad to say about either one of them. However, they both have their own versions of what happened, and somewhere in the middle is the truth. That's all.
Same goes for this situation. I don't know why you're going off on a tangent on it, because I really wasn't trying to start a thing. I was just saying shows that I know of personally that do a show by themselves.
I'm just saying you could have left that one out.
I'm just saying I think he does a great
considering
job.
Considering how you already knew I felt about that show, you could have just left that one
out. I wasn't even thinking that you were going to even remember that.
So, all right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with Nick Mailer from Dallas Novelty, our new sponsor. So stay tuned. This is the Radio Freaks, radiofreaks.tv.
After these messages... Right back.
Hey man, this is Brian Posehn, and you're listening to the Radio Freaks at radiofreaks.tv.
want to stay up on what's going on with the show, like the Facebook page at facebook.com/TheRadioFreaks and follow the show on Twitter at twitter.com/TheRadioFreaks.
Yo, 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 damn son, I's here to talk to you about Bro Flowers. Yeah, that's right, broflowers.com. If you needs to get Valentine's Day flowers for your mama, your baby mama, your shorty, or your secretary, broflowers.com is the place to go. Shit, we get you the freshest flowers money can buy. We use our assorted network of growers such as hospitals, churches, cemeteries, nursing homes, and those fucking gas stations where you could buy a rose for a dollar and shit. We use all them to cut out the middleman and give you the best prices in town, son. Shit, we ain't kidding around. And yo, if you act today and enter in code word Obama when you place your order, you gonna get a free, that's right, a free vase, courtesy of Maxwell House, son. Yeah, shit. Broflowers.com, when you gots to get the best flowers for Valentine's Day.
Hey, this is your old pal, Dr. Steve, here to tell you about my show, Weird Medicine. Weird Medicine is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the radio. If you have a question that you're embarrassed to take your regular medical provider, if you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call. I have a traditional Chinese medical doctor as my partner. What an asshole. So listen to Weird Medicine, Saturday, 10 p.m. on the East, 7 p.m. on the West. On Sirius 206, XM 103, Opie Radio.
Hey guys, it's your friend Dr. Scott from the Weird Medicine Show with Dr. Steve. A quick reminder that if you're like the rest of us, stressed out, worn out, and looking for a safe and effective convenient alternative, give My Simply Herbals a try. Fatigue Reprieve will give you the boost of energy without all of the sugar or caffeine. Stress less lowers anxiety and tension in a subtle but powerful way. The perfect stress-reducing formula. Give My Simply Herbals a try at simplyherbals.net. That's simplyherbals.net.
It takes a lot to become a Winter Olympian. Strength, courage, determination, and many other things your sorry ass don't have. So I'll stop listing them. Instead, let's talk about pancakes. I love pancakes, especially with butter or syrup, but not jelly. That's for toast, fool. Visa, everywhere you want to be.
Planned Parenthood is going out of business. All services will stop on Trump's inauguration. 25% to 100% off. All STD, STI, UTI checks. Buy one, get one free. Get your pap smears now, because once Obamacare is repealed,
you may never qualify for insurance again.
Breast exams, emergency contraceptives, morning after pill, these products will not last.
We're in the final, final, final days.
Abortion? Half off! Adoption referrals? Free!
Because we always did that. We did a lot of things.
Buy one, get two, three, four, free! They're kicking us out of the building, too, so we'll even throw in the exam table. Ever wanted stirrups? Specimen cups? We're getting rid of those, too! Her Harvard OBGYN medical degree? Take it! Only men will be handling pussies come January. Sound too good to be true? Don't worry. Your future will still cost you everything.
After January, all Planned Parenthoods will be replaced with Bob's Big Boy.
If you missed any part of the show, download it.
Shit, I can download it? Tell me where, announcer guy, I'm confused.
You can listen to the Radio Freaks every week right from your smartphone. Check us out on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio, both available in the Apple Store and Google Play.
I am so glad we did this and had a chance to catch up.
Oh, it's been a while.
Oh my God, so much fun.
Jen, can I ask you something?
Yeah, sure.
Have you lost weight? Done something different with your hair?
No, why?
I don't know, you just seem different.
I noticed it too.
Different how?
I don't know, stronger, more confident.
Yeah. Well,
Oh!
I grew a penis.
What?
How? Doctor prescribed Maskelantin.
After millions of dollars and years of research, development, and test trials, there's a revolutionary new solution that finally allows women to experience the power and influence that comes with having a penis. Maskelantin. Maskelantin is the brand name for the prescription drug penicillin, a pharmaceutical compound that works together with a woman's hormones to stimulate the ontogenesis of male genitalia. When applied twice daily to the vaginal region, Maskelantin gel begins working immediately. The active ingredients work together with your own hormones, and in just 4 to 6 weeks, it generates a fully formed, fully functioning penis and scrotum, giving you the wiener you've always wanted.
Maskelantin may cause an increase in income, more frequent promotions at work, and a complete lack of fear when speaking in public in front of large groups. It may also result in a significant improvement in driving skill and strong, painful morning erections.
Maskelantin is approved only for the spontaneous generation of a new penis on women and is not a male enhancement treatment. Maskelantin from Johnson & Johnson.
This year's Winter Olympics feature a record 98 events and a record 8,000 Jimmy Fallon promos. I swear if I see one more ad for this giggly white boy, I'll put a crossbow through my damn flat screen. Hey, NBC, you want me to watch the Tonight Show? Then hire someone that actually makes me laugh, like Carrot Top. Now that dude's funny. Or my favorite bit is where he uses a prop to mock one of life's daily absurdities. You go, Carrot Top. You go. Visa. Everywhere you want to be.
I'm Vinnie Brand, and this is the world-famous Stress Factory Comedy Club. Every single weekend, right here in New Brunswick, the biggest names in the business. Get some great food and a cold beer, and you'll see the best stand-up comics the country has to offer. Log on to StressFactory.com to buy your tickets and check out all the best show information. Or call us at 732-545-4242. The Stress Factory. Your friends are right. This place is great.
When my mom is a b***, my daddy goes to EsleyMedicine.com. There he can p*** lots of other women. When I grow up, I'm going to be an Esley Medicine man. Because my daddy's raising me without any moral compass whatsoever. Esley Medicine, find your lovers here. Why exactly are we singing this? Daddy, what's a rotisserie?
Hi, this is multiple award-winning adult film star, radio host, publicist, producer, director, and legend, James Bartolet, and you're listening to the one and only Radio Freaks right here on RadioFreaks.tv.
Welcome back to the Radio Freaks. If you missed the first half of the show, Brian flubbed his way through an interview with someone famous. If you'd like to participate in the show tonight, call 951-373-2570. That's 951-FREAKS-0. Now, back to the show for more of the same shit you used to.
Welcome back to the Radio Freaks, RadioFreaks.tv. Just like the deep voice announce guy said, if you want to call the show tonight, give us a call, 951-FREAKS-0. That's 951-373-2570. Big thanks to Vinnie Brand and Jessica Curzon for calling the show tonight. You can catch Jessica this weekend at Stress Factory Comedy Club in New Brunswick, New Jersey. For more information, 732-545-4242. And, of course, you can always go to StressFactory.com and get your tickets there as well. And check out Vinnie Brand, who will be headlining next weekend at his own club. Because you're allowed to do that when you're the boss. And he will be our guest next week right here on The Radio Freaks. So, very cool. We love having Vinny on the show.
Yeah, Vinny's great.
We're just about to talk to Nick Mailer from Dallas Novelty, who is our new sponsor. We're going to talk to him about some sexual enhancement toys for your relationship, just in time for Valentine's Day. We have a special promo code for you. Get some money off. It's tax time. You got to save money.
Oh, shit. That's right.
Although March, all the ballers are coming out. It's when you see all the Escalades and the fucking the expensive cars and shit. And then April, there's a recession.
I like how you said Escalades. I don't know why Cadillacs were the...
the go-to.
I feel like there was an undertone there.
No.
A dark undertone. Just a feeling.
Shit. So, yeah.
I gotta do my taxes.
Yeah. All your tax money and all your chick's tax money is gonna go towards prepping for this kid, because that's where all ours is going to. House repairs.
No.
And fucking setting up the nursery.
You know what mine will go? You know where mine will go?
Where? Down your throat in the form of a beer bottle?
No, I thought you were going to say in a bathroom stall at a gay club or something. I don't know.
down the barrel of a shotgun?
Something like that. I mean, so many jokes.
An expensive belt that will hold your weight in a closet?
Yeah, let's just pick one. God.
I shouldn't joke around about that. A friend of mine actually lost her fiance last week to a fucking suicide, and that's exactly how they found it, was hanging from a belt in his closet.
Jesus. Yeah. I know, my old guy, yeah, I got my new show that I'm trying to, I got two new shows I'm trying to do, and I don't even know if my old co-host, friend, I don't even know if he's alive. Still have no idea.
Not to mention you're doing a show called Wish You Were Dead, and here we are making fucking suicide jokes.
I don't have a filter, what do I care? No, you know where my tax money will go? Straight to the fucking Department of Education. They will take my entire fucking return.
Well, that's what happens when you don't pay back your student loans, you fuck.
I know. I was so surprised.
It was either pay it then or pay it now, but they're gonna get their money either way.
I giggled. They sent me a letter. Thank you for your tax return. They sent me a letter.
Oh, that's funny.
And I was really excited to get my, you know,
that's funny.
$3,000. I was like, ooh, this is great. Pay off some debts. No. They send you a letter saying thank you for your payment to the Department of Education. I didn't pay them. They just took it. Well, up the IRS and said, "Hey, well, what's he got going on over there?
How much more you got left?"
Not much. Like $1,200, $1,400, something. Oh, yeah, like
you're fucked for the next couple of years.
I think that's probably my whole return from last year. Anyways, more maybe. So.
Yeah, you said $3,000 was your entire return, right?
Well, yeah, but I owed like four, so.
I thought you said you owed $12,000 left.
I don't know.
Or was it $12,000 total?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. All right. Well, moving right along. I have something I need to plug real quick before our guest comes on the show. And if you're able to do this, great. If you're not, that's fine too.
What?
I am going to be doing, and this is the first time I'm saying this out loud, which is weird. I'm going to be doing the polar bear plunge this year. Go ahead and make your jokes. Yes. Go ahead and make your jokes.
Yes. I've done it for many years.
Into other men's backsides. Yes. I'm going to do the polar bear plunge this year in Seaside Heights, New Jersey. Home of the Jersey Shore.
Yes, I was a brown bear, but now I'm a polar bear because of a gum.
Jesus Christ.
God, we've listened to that show too many times. We shouldn't be making these jokes this easily.
My cousin, Chip, don't do it. Don't.
That's not his name.
That I swear to God, that's his name.
Why would you have
a cousin named... Don't do it.
Why would you have a cousin named Chip? Just that's
because it existed long before that radio show did. So stop.
Go ahead.
I'm doing the polar bear plunge. My cousin Chip is special needs, and we're raising money for Special Olympics because he participates in the basketball program in New Jersey Special Olympics, and he gets a lot of joy out of it. And I've done the polar bear plunge before, about 15 years ago in Baltimore,
And Fuller whale plunge. God, I should stutter. Fuck.
And I've been thinking about doing it again. And then my best friend told me that he was doing it. And I said, well, fuck it. I'm going to do it with him. And I'm going to do it because of my cousin. And so if you're able to give, that's great. I'm trying to raise at least $1,000. If I can raise $1,000, then maybe I'll extend the cap on the donation that I'm looking for, but I'm looking for at least $1,000. So if you're able to help, that's great. Please go to give.classy.org, GIVE.CLASSY.org /Wood Floor Liquor. And that will take you to my page, and you can donate there. And it's got a little blurb about my cousin and where the money's going and all sorts of other stuff. So we're trying to raise $1,000. If we can raise $1,000, maybe I'll move it up to $2,000, but we'll start with a nice round number like $1,000. So if you're able to give, please do that. I'll send it out on our Twitter account, and I will, I'll be posting periodically about how we're doing with it and that kind of stuff. So
yes,
if you're able to give, please do.
He'll be mercilessly tweeting all of his coattail rides.
I will, because you know what? That's what it's for. That's what coattail riding comes in good for.
Yeah, I'm raising money.
So, especially when it's for a good cause. So,
I agree. All jokes aside.
All right. I mean, it's fucking Special Olympics, for Christ's sake. It's not like I'm trying to fund a trip to Vegas or something. So,
that's true. You know, I thought about doing one of those raising money things just for my life. And I just came to the conclusion that nobody would help or care.
You have to help yourself at a certain point.
I am. I got some things cooking. Yes. Some things in the works.
I
pretty much probably am going to be that I'm going to be a working designer / stay-at-home dad. Which actually is not going to be that bad.
Yeah, this is the last thing I'm going to say about us having a kid for the moment, but you and I had a conversation in text messages this week that I mentioned on Twitter today that I thought was hilarious. Yeah. The fact that your name is Tony and I'm a ginger and probably will have a ginger child as well, we could reincarnate the Opie and Anthony show.
When I did say the joke that you should name your kid Opie and I'll name my kid Anthony, it immediately made me uncomfortable about how much shit and how badly we would get made fun of if we actually did that.
Oh, I know. Absolutely.
Or, for instance, if I perhaps wanted to name my kid Opie, middle name Anthony.
Dude, I have a cat that's named Opie, and people cringe, and that has nothing to do with why I named him Opie. He's a ginger cat. That's why I named him Opie.
Our obsession is very sad.
I know. Well, some of us more than others. Mr. fucking Stalker over there.
I mean, Stalker? I never even...